Good morning, everyone. Oh, come on. It's the last day. You can get more enthusiastic than that. Let's try it again. Good morning, everyone. There we go. Well, I'm going to give you just a real brief background, and I know he gave you as far as my educational degree. I actually grew up in a diversified livestock farm where we had dairy, beef, sheep, or excuse me, not sheep, hogs, and did raising some crops. And I've been in agriculture my whole life. Raised beef cattle for a short time, then also now married to a crop farmer. We farm about 2,200 acres in eastern South Dakota and have a few part-time employees also on the side, which, you know, is something out of the norm. My husband has reiterated several times that he doesn't want to get so big that he has to manage a ton of employees, you know, and I understand that. But there is some things, even if you have family members that we're going to talk about here today, who work for you or are a part of the family business, that I hope you'll be able to take back home. Just some housekeeping real quick. On the side or the end of each of the tables, there's a sheet of paper, and it says connecting with values. I want to make sure that everybody has one of those sheets as we progress through the presentation here this morning. And along with that, make sure that you find yourself a pen or a pencil if you haven't done so already. The title of my presentation that Julie tasked me with and the committee did today was Mentoring and Managing Employees to Ensure Husbandry and Assure Consumers. You know, this topic really starts at the beginning as far as taking a look at making sure that we do not have the things that often come to mind come to fruition. In other words, we don't want those bad things appearing in the press. Now, the employee side of it, honestly, by nature, is not something that each of you is probably real adept at and comfortable with doing. But hopefully, as we walk through some things this morning, I can help make you a little bit more comfortable in that process. Well, let's start at the top first, and we're going to walk through three things. We're going to start with understanding the consumers. I'm going to talk to you about you as owners and leaders and give you some advice there. And then we're going to get down to your employee level as we work through this presentation. So let's first ask ourselves, what do consumers want? What animal husbandry practices do those consumers care about? In a recent study that was conducted by the Center for Food Integrity in 2014, they found that confidence, otherwise known as those shared values, helps build trust with the consumer, especially when it comes to safe food, quality, nutrition, appropriate animal care, and environmental stewardship. Let me ask you this. Are these all things that you care about? Probably so. Additionally, another recent study that was just came out and published, it was in September of 2015 by the National Restaurant Association, found when they surveyed over 1,500 professional chefs, they asked what the hot items were as far as trends. And they asked them to rank these 221 items either as a hot trend, yesterday's news, or a perennial favorite on the menus. What they found as you look through this list is that 44% of the chefs surveyed felt that the trend that has grown the most over the last decade is local sourcing. 41% of those feel that this is a trend that will continue for the next 10 years. As you'll see, I've put a link to that study at the bottom there, so if you want to go a little bit more in depth, you're sure able to. The other thing to note is that as you look through that list, both these studies align with one thing. They're talking about the values that consumers have in life, and it also, as you look at that list, these are the same values that you, as owners and operators, probably have too. So how do we go about communicating shared values? Well, it's not really a super easy process, but first, we start with some basic things. We need to understand what our mission is, our vision, and more importantly, what our purpose tells us in life and why we do what we do. So let's take a look at an example. We all know what Disney is, right? So let's really understand how it is they get their employees to do what they do. I'm going to read a blog to you that was done by Bruce Jones. He's the programming director at the Disney Institute, and it explains the Disney purpose this way. In 1960, in a speech by David Packard to Hewlett-Packard's training group, he said, "I want to discuss why a company exists in the first place. In other words, why are we here? I think many people assume wrongly that a company exists simply to make money. Well, this is an important result of a company's existence. We have to go deeper and find the real reasons for our being." Packard continues, "Purpose. A purpose is something that should last at least 100 years. It should not be confused with specific goals or business strategies, which should change many times in those 100 years. Whereas you might achieve a goal or complete a strategy, you cannot fulfill a purpose. It's like a guiding star in the horizon, forever pursued but never reached. Yet although purpose itself does not change, it does inspire change. The very fact that purpose can never fully be realized means that an organization can never stop stimulating change and progress." Jones goes on to write, "Now you're probably wondering, what is the connection between David Packard, Walt Disney, and the concept of purpose? The fact is that Hewlett-Packard's first product was a sound oscillator sold to Walt Disney Studios for the soundtrack Fantasia. Given David Packard's speech occurred in 1960, it's possible that he was influenced by people like Van Arsdale France, who in 1955 founded the University of Disneyland and was tasked with creating a training program for those who would bring Walt Disney's dream and Disneyland to life. As he was preparing to pitch what would become the purpose of Disneyland to Walt and Roy Disney, Van Arsdale once said, 'My goal, as I saw it, was to get everyone we hired to share in an intangible dream and not just working for a paycheck.' Van recounted the experience. And here we were, top executives, all of them right there. And I had to get up and say, 'And now our theme, the purpose of Disneyland, is to create happiness for others.' And you see, the beautiful thing about saying we're going to create happiness was then I could say, 'Look, you may park cars, you may clean up the place, you may sweep the place, work graveyard and everything else, but whatever you do is contributing to creating happiness for others.' Van's particular genius was to create a single unifying principle that connects every cast member with the emotional aspirations of 'Be our guest.' He explained this common purpose using the French phrase, 'raison d'être,' reason for being. And it's what drives the extra effort, the creativity, the teamwork, and the extraordinary guest focus that Disney's known for." Erica, if you could flip to the next slide and go ahead and play the commercial quick.
"Here you are. Anything I can do to make your stay more magical?"
"Well, I wish we could have even more park time.
Have dinner with the princess?
Ooh, I want to ride the monorail.
Oh, and take a break by the pool.
But be back in time for fireworks?
Let me see what I can do."
When you stay at a select Walt Disney World Resort hotel, you get the most out of your vacation and your family. And now create a 6-night, 7-day package, including a select Walt Disney World Resort hotel room and theme park tickets for as little as $81 per person per day for a family of four.
As you watch that commercial, what values do you see coming out? Do you see that an employee really cares about the experience their guest has? Is that employee empowered? Does that employee have a great attitude? And even more so, have they enabled that employee to make decisions and to make sure that their guests are treated appropriately? I want to argue that it is our value that helps us fulfill our purpose. So, as you take your sheets, I'd like to take 30 seconds and connect with your values. Take and circle every word on that sheet that you identify with. I know it's kind of a long list, but from the ones you've circled, pick your top five. And more importantly, pick the number one in 1 through 3. For the sake of time, I'm going to keep moving on. But as you look at that list of words there, those values, those top three, ask yourself this. So how do you, as producers, work to have employees that share the same purpose with you, those same values? What common ground might your employees have with consumers? I would even challenge you to start hiring your employees based on those same values. Because if you don't have the employees that have those same values that you have, it's going to be very difficult for them to share your purpose and to move forward in your operation. I'm going to share my own when I did this exercise here a couple weeks ago. And it was done by Lori Daniels at the Women's Dairy Conference. What I found was that, you know what, these have been lifelong things for me. I had a hard time with number 4 and 5 because, you know, communication and responsibility, to me, I can't break them apart, so I just left them tied. But as I look to the top of the list, I can identify with, in myself, positive attitude. Now, each of you may have things at that top of the list that are important to you, and that's fantastic. Take that top value, or those top five, and put it to work in your operation. When you start identifying with your employees, but also as you start to talk and communicate the message to consumers. Think back to that study or those studies that I shared with you earlier in the presentation. Are there things there on your page that are the same that consumers are wanting to hear about? Be able to share that story. As I said, let's start hiring based on values. I know we talk about a lot of times, you know, we want someone with farm background, farm experience, but I'll challenge you with this. Are they trainable? More importantly, do they have the attitude that we need to enable them to do the job we want them to do on the operation? Okay? Keep in mind, I hire for attitude and I train for aptitude. I'm going to share a really quick story here. In our operation, like I said, we have a couple of part-time employees. One of the gentlemen works in town. He's a fantastic welder and stuff, has some of that skill set, but he's never really, truly grown up on a farm. As he told my husband, he goes, I'm learnable. He's got the right attitude, and he has been learnable. He's been very trainable. He has the willingness to do the job the way we want it done, as long as we help him through that process. So let's start building our team. But one thing we need to remember is that teams work together. They have a shared purpose versus groups. Groups have a common goal. They work individually, however. And then we get down to individuals. Typically, these are people with a personal goal and individual goals, and they work independently. So I put some pictures up there to emulate different things that represent a team, a group, and individuals. So as you start to build your team on your operation, I want you to think about these five things, and we're going to go through them really briefly here this morning. What's your purpose? Have you done that in your operation? Have you identified a mission and a vision to where you're going? Have you taken the time to train the people? Are you a communicator? Do you go back and offer feedback or evaluation? Do you include your employees in the decision-making? Have you enabled them to make those decisions? And lastly, do you celebrate those successes in your operation? Make them a part of what you do every day. These are the things that will make a difference in your working environment with your employees and hopefully enable you to keep them around once you get them trained. Thing to remember is that oftentimes, as we start training, most of our employees make the decision of whether they want to stick with you or not in the first 8 hours. You know that old saying, first impressions last a lifetime? Well, in your operations, or in any operation or business, this is true. Honestly, when they walk in the door, they're more worried about where's the lunchroom, where's the bathroom, where can I hang my coat, trying to feel at home and get comfortable, trying to remember everybody's names. What I'd offer to you is take the time out of your busy day, shut that cell phone off, and spend the time to train these employees from the get-go. Now, the other thing I might offer is make sure that if you're the one that is expecting them to do a job in a particular way, that you're the one doing the training. And if you have others doing the training, make sure that they are relaying an adequate message and training those employees appropriately. And I'm going to give you an example of that here in a little bit. Typically, those of us in agriculture are kinesthetic learners. That means that we learn by hands-on activities. So as you work through this process of training your employees, make sure that you talk to them as far as that training. We want to start by showing them and then telling them simultaneously. We want them to be able to teach back to us what it is you just explained it to do. And as you're doing that, you observe them. If they're not doing it correctly or they're not getting it right, take the corrective action and retrain them appropriately. Offer feedback. It's really important, okay, that you give that to those individuals and get them on the right foot. The other thing about training is that it's ongoing, okay? When we talk about ongoing, you know, you're not going to show them how to do everything the first day. It gets a bit overwhelming. Like I said, they walk in the door and they want to just basically remember your name, try to figure the very basics out in an operation. So you're going to show them probably one or two tasks that they need to do that day. But you're going to continually train them as they're employed with you, hopefully. You know, whether it be in any operation, you know, things change throughout the growing season, you know, and you're going to do different tasks every day. Take the time, if it's a task that they haven't done, to show them how to do it correctly. Use teachable moments. You know, I think about my first time learning to run the grain cart here recently. My husband, you know, he went through the process, and bless his heart, he's pretty patient with me, because I didn't grow up operating a lot of equipment other than the skid steer, which I was pretty good at, and a few tractors. But I was charged mainly with taking and working with the livestock. Well, as I said, in our operation, we don't have a lot of livestock. And so where we need the help is running the equipment on a day-to-day basis. And what we do there is, like I said, with the corn harvest recently, I'd never run the grain cart. And for those of you that have any of these types of equipment in your operation, it can be a little overwhelming, all right? But the one thing he told me as we're going through this process and he watched me is, you know, here's that PTO button. If you got a problem with it, just make sure you hit that one first, okay? So you don't dump all the grain over the side of the semi. And the other thing he told me is, do not, under any circumstances, put that auger back full of grain. I'm like, okay, He goes, you're going to cost us a lot of money and a lot of downtime because it's going to break down. Well, I tell you what, that message stuck. And if you think about it, when we go through this training, and I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, is the why. And I'll give you another example on why here in a minute. The other thing when we talk about training is, beyond those teachable moments, is the random acts of kindness. Make sure that you take the time to thank your employees, whether it's just, hey, you did a great job there getting those calves through the chute, or really good job calving this spring. You know, we didn't have any death loss. I mean, that's a super goal to work for. We all know sometimes that's out of our control. But those are things, you know, make sure you tell your employees how much you appreciate them. Verbally, written, thank you note. Or maybe it's just simply a hot cup of coffee on a cold day. Or taking them out and taking a break and taking them to lunch once in a while. Training also requires leadership. Leadership is not micromanaging people. We're in the process of holding people accountable. We want to empower them to make decisions. You must be willing to delegate tasks to others in this process. It's hard to give up control. It really is. Trust me, I was a control freak for many years. And in a lot of organizations, you see this happening, and you see it happening on the farm. Well, Grandpa's been doing it this way for how many years? Why do we have to change? Have you empowered that person to make the decision and to work towards your purpose? I'll challenge you with that thought. I'm going to borrow a quote from Zoetis here, and it's from their program, People First. It states that engaged employees start with engaged employers. How true. Next, let's talk about communication. So as we think about this, what are the ways we communicate? What I'm doing to you right now, verbally. Okay. With the written word. All those pieces of paper that you've got in front of you is another way. Or the internet, social media. But I'm going to ask you this. What's this tell you? If I come up to you and I'm standing like this, does it give the message that I want to listen to you or talk to you? No. We need to be approachable. A smile, your body language, is 90% of how we communicate with people. It tells a lot. So we really want to be approachable and take the time to hear our employees. We want to make sure that we listen before we speak. Make sure you've got all sides of the story before you might need to intervene or retrain someone. Here's my other why example. I learned 2 years ago how to run the combine. As many of you know, this piece of equipment is probably well over $250,000 to $350,000. I honestly suck at video games. Any of you ever ran one of these combines? To me, that little controller is like a video game. All those buttons and everything else. Eye-hand coordination is awful. And it's something I struggle with, but really have to think about. So, again, my husband takes me in there and, you know, he talks me through it. He rides with me a few rounds, makes sure that I operate the combine, you know, and I'm comfortable with it. And then I tell him to get the blank out because I can't concentrate anymore on all these buttons. But the one thing he told me was a why thing again. He said, whatever you do, do not back up with that header down on the ground. See, we have stock stompers. That's what I call them anyway. underneath that corn head. And he said, those fingers, you back up, you're going to start ripping them off, and then we're going to have downtime and a lot of repair and expense again. There's the biggie. He told me why. And that's the other one that stuck in my head. Well, I tell you what, I don't put that head down backing up. Okay? I want to go on vacation. I want to have some fun. And I don't want to be the cost of the downtime or the expenses. But I also want us to have a good harvest, because with those things comes frustration. It's a part of life sometimes, you know. And enabling me is what he did to make the right choice as I operated that piece of equipment, because he told me the why. So I would challenge you, as you train your employees and your families, to communicate to them the why when you train them. Make sure they understand the importance it is of what you're doing. The other part of communication is, remember that it's okay to say you're sorry. You're human. We all make mistakes. It's also an important characteristic of leadership. It also shows that you're willing to accept responsibility and to make a fresh start and try again. The other thing I'll challenge you with, as you heard in my introduction, we work a lot with employees with language barriers. Be willing to meet in the middle. I have to learn Spanish, and I'm trying. I got a few words in my pocket now. But at the same process, they're also learning English from you, as an example. We also have a neighbor with a lot of South African employees, and there is some differences there, okay? The other thing we need to do is remember the education level of the employees that we are having work for us. Some of them may not have the education level that we have. We may need to use pictures to communicate and show them how to perform their job in a very hands-on manner. The other thing, way that I would encourage you to communicate, obviously, you know, farm meetings. Have a raise of hand. How many of you have ranch or farm meetings? Regular basis? Good. You know, it's something, whether you do it once a month, you know, once a week, or biannually, you know, every 6 months or so often, they're important. And involve everybody in your operation as you do them. All right? The other part of meetings is there's informal meetings. Those are the ones that happen around the coffee pot in the morning, or out in the barn shed as you're watching the cows. You're listening. You're talking. You're communicating with your employees. They are extremely important. And the other thing is, you've shown them that you care. We don't want this to happen, the game of telephone. And I referred to this earlier, is that we want to make sure that they're getting the right message from the get-go. They don't want it passed down through the chain and get the wrong message and perform the job incorrectly, because it just leads to frustration and poor performance. So in summary, remember, take the time to celebrate success. Whether that's, you know, hey, we had a great calving season, or maybe it's branding time, and I know a lot of people do that. Or it might be something we do. A lot of the producers I work with, they got that silage pile covered. It's a daunting task, some of those piles. It takes a lot of people, and they'll have a little celebration. But celebrate your successes in your operation. They don't have to be huge, monumental things. It can be something, like I said, as simple as getting that silage pile covered. And just as a reminder, good performing teams do this. They communicate. They show respect to each other. They have a shared purpose or goal. And they understand their role in the team. They encourage each other. And lastly, they have fun working together. So I'll leave you with this thought. As we work towards relating to our consumers, we need to truly emulate what we want them to see and believe, which is our purpose. Thank you.